And welcome now to the midday with Norman and Vicky. And today we have a couple of friends who've stopped in to make some music, which is always a treat.
Our friends are cellist Uri Vardy, who comes from the music school right across the street here in Madison, and a friend of his who plays a very unusual instrument that we'll be hearing about, the oud. And this is Taisir Elias. And welcome to Madison. Is this your first visit?
Thank you very much. No, in fact, I have been before about 8-9 years in Madison, right, Uri? When we performed at the university. So this is the second time in Madison, and I have been many times in the U.S.
Where are you usually?
I live in Shfaram, which is in Israel, in the North Galilee. It's nearby Haifa, Tiberias.
And is the oud a popular instrument in Israel?
Very much, yeah. It's a very, very prominent instrument, very important instrument in the Arab classic music, and it exists in many different Oriental cultures, like Turkish music, Persian music, of course, Arabic music. And it is popular because the Arabic music is a very integral part of the musical culture in Israel.
It looks like a lute.
It looks like lute, or the lute looks like the oud, because the oud is in fact the ancestor of the European lute. And if you want me to tell you how it became like that, I'll be glad. The oud was taken to Europe, to Spain, in fact, by Ziryab, by a very, very important Arab musician in the Middle Ages who escaped from the Arab Peninsula. And he took the oud, of course, when the Arab invaded Spain. There, the oud became the European lute. And even the name lute is an Arab word, which is al-oud. Al, it means the
oud.
Yeah, the oud. So they took also the article, the al-oud, al-lut, lute. And of course they developed the lute in order to match or to fit to the Western music. That's why it is with frets, while this Arab lute, it's fretless. It has no frets, and I can play semitones and quarter tones and everything that doesn't exist in Western music.
That sounds to me like it would be harder than playing something with frets to get that tone, that semitone, that quarter tone exactly right.
Yeah, intonationally it's much more sophisticated because, in fact, you have a great variety of different sounds, of different tones, smaller than a whole tone and a half tone. You have quarter and microtones also.
It intrigues me that if one listens to medieval European music, if you go back close to 1,000 years, it sounds rather like Middle Eastern music does to us today.
Yeah. In fact, there was a very important musical influence, Arab music influence, on the Western music in the Middle Ages. And that's why it reminds you.
Good reason.
Yes.
Well, could we hear what it sounds like?
Yes, of course. Maybe I will play something without quarter tones, and then I play something with quarter tones. This was without quarter tones, but with some microtones. But we have quarter tones as structural intervals, like. ¶¶
What about chords?
In Arab music, there are no chords. There's no harmony. It's monophonic, melodic music. It's linear music, horizontal, not vertical. But I use some chords, not for a harmonic function, but just for colors, like...
Sure, suddenly there are a number of aspiring oud players out there, having heard that.
I tried to imitate somehow the guitar, you know, but because there is a relationship between the oud and the guitar, because the guitar belongs to the family of the lute.
All right, Uri, you've been very patient over here with your cello. Now, cellos can also, I guess, play quarter tones too, but is that something you do when you perform with the oud?
Well, yes, Taisir was the one who actually taught me how to hear the microtones and how to really be accurate with them, more or less. And in our previous encounter here, when Taisir was here in 96 for a project that we had here, which we called Fusions, it was a chamber music recital for cello, oud, and... piano, actually oud, cello, and piano. I should be nice to you. Anyway, we commissioned a trio for the three instruments, and Menachem Wisenberg, who was here with us, also was the composer also. And Taisir and I played a little short piece, a Samay Nahawand, a Turkish piece, which required some quarter tones. So, now in the Wisenberg's piece, we didn't use that many microtones, but and neither Joel Hoffman in the current project that we are engaged with, but there are places for us to play.
What do they sound like on a cello?
So that's there's a little, you add a little spice to the B flat.
Now we should say that the reason you are here together is that you are about to premiere a piece, a concerto by Joel Hoffman, as we've already mentioned, for oud and cello, a double concerto. And as I understand it, the two instruments represent two different cultures and have different musical gestures. And I wondered if you could speak to that, either of you.
Well, I think the origin of this piece, I mean, I started thinking about asking somebody to write a double concerto for the two instruments after our experience in 96 with Fusions, and I just was so astonished about the colors that these two instruments can bring to music. And it doesn't really matter that I'm coming from a Western culture and Taisir comes from an Arabic culture, the Eastern culture. On on the level of expression, of musical expression, we feel very much alike, and we just have to modify the language a little bit in order to be able to play together.
You know, I think there is the unique. Every culture has the something unique, and there is the unifying all the musical cultures. And we, of course, everybody of us, each one of us, represent the unique of the one culture, but we are working out very much the unifying, and which is, I call, natural schemata, which exists in every musical culture, and this is what brings us to a musical or emotional excitement. And I think every good musician, if he comes from Arab or Indian or Persian or jazz music, can meet in a certain point when they stress these unifying elements of all the musical cultures.
Now, I understand that there is, well, in this concerto, there are times when you play together, and those unifying elements and those differences are apparent. I wonder if there's some piece that you could play together.
Yes, definitely. But maybe I can just give a little description of the concerto, which is called the 40 Steps. And maybe you want to talk about that later. But the opening movement, it is in one piece, in one movement piece, but in three different sections. And the first section is kind of a written-in improvisation. So you get a little bit sense of freedom and improvisation when the oud and the cello start alone. The whole piece starts with the cello and oud, and we can really play a little bit from that. Then there is a middle section, which is very rhythmical and exciting. And it ends again in a very serene feeling, and ends by floating. The very end of the piece is something that doesn't really end. So maybe if you want, we can play maybe the opening and the end, and we'll surprise the audience about the middle section, because it requires also more instruments of the orchestra for the middle one.
40 instruments, is that right?
Pardon? Not 40, you said? No, actually, the 40 steps, well, I encourage people to get on the MSO website and read also Joel Hoffman's program notes about the 40 steps. It has some practical issues and some philosophical issues that come from he researched the meaning of the figure of the number 40 in the Muslim culture and Jewish culture, and he came up with an idea that to create something around that number, and he created a scale of 40 notes, which means that in different registers you play different notes. So for the whole orchestra, the whole piece is based on those 40 notes.
All right. Well, how many are we going to hear in this excerpt?
Oh, I didn't count them.
Well, we can count as you play. How's that?
So this is the beginning of the concerto by Joel Hoffman called The 40 Steps.
Thank you.
And that's the beginning. And now you will play something from the end. Is that correct?
Right. Just to tell you, at this point, the orchestra enters and makes a lot of noise.
That's all it is if it's an orchestra, of course, just noise.
Yeah, a lot of percussive instruments. Maybe Taisir can talk a little bit about some of the percussion instruments from that Joel added in the score.
Yeah, in addition to the classical Western percussive instruments like timpani and others, there are different kinds of jingles, small, and there's the rick, like a tambourine, with also a small frame drum, which is called rick in Arabic, which means skin or deaf. And there is the dumbuk or durbaki, which is also a very typical classical Arab percussive instrument, which is used there. And they are very meaningful there when we play a very special rhythmic pattern, so-called mizan in Arabic, which is 10-8. Yeah, it's very, very nice. And they contribute so much to this section.
So this is the part of the finale, then, of the 40 steps.
Yeah, I wanted to add one little thing, is that Joel wrote actually two cadenzas for the oud, because the oud is an improvisatory instrument, and the whole way of playing Arabic music has to do with improvisation. And at the very end, in the coda, he asked the two of us to improvise. So there'll be a little section that we are going to improvise.
Just out of curiosity, how do you know when to stop improvising? I mean, how long do you go?
Well, he indicated that he wanted something like around 30 seconds, and we usually go above that, and we just feel that that's enough.
Yeah, it should be very proportional. I mean, you have to feel when it's really enough in proportion with the music. You cannot improvise half an hour because
you lose your perspective on it.
Sure.
So will we hear some improvisation here then?
Well, actually, I just want to make sure we start not with an improvisation. In the middle of it, it will be some improvisation. So this is kind of the coda of the concerto. Thank you.
Peacefully floating away, a conversation between two cultures, I guess you could say, and the composer envisioning that the road to peace is easily imagined, I guess. At least that's what I was reading in Joel Hoffman's notes.
Well, that's what he had in mind probably when he wrote it, and we discussed a lot. I mean, in the process working on this whole project, Joel and I had many conversations, and we got to the conclusion that the way to bridge somehow between different cultures, and very often between two different adversary cultures, is mainly to listen and to see whatever happens when you just get on stage and do something together, and you don't talk. You just listen. Mm-hmm. And just see what happens. And anybody can interpret it any way they want. We get the politicians out of the picture. We don't complain. We don't talk about all of our grievances, because everybody has grievances. And we just see what we can do together. That's pretty much the whole idea.
So there will be a lot of atmosphere, in addition to just the sheer music making itself, there'd be a lot of everyone sort of coming to their own conclusions as to what it all means in these 40 steps.
And it's going to be premiered Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, Madison Symphony Orchestra with John Demain conducting. And in addition to this world premiere, also on the program is the Stabat Mater of Rossini. So a big concert. And ticket information is madisonsymphony.org.
Well, as we work our way down to the quiz question, we can go either live, or we can go with this CD that you've brought, which has a lament on it. We'll do a few excerpts from that, or if you'd like to play us down to 12:30, either however you'd like to do it. You want to hear this.
We'll hear the recording.
All right, here we go. This is from Lament, featuring our guests in performance.
Taisir Elias and Uri Vardy, and the pianist is Menachem Wiesenberg, who is
the composer
also. Yes, and this was written in 1996.
It was from our tour of Fusions in 96. It was actually recorded live in Amherst, Massachusetts.